to the opinion of men, instead of only having the foundation of the scriptures of the word of God, which led to false teachings. What was the effect? The effect in that time was when a poor sinner was burdened and looking for a way to be just with God. They could not find peace with God through the teachings, the wrong teachings of the church. Under these false teachings in the past, when a sinner had a question, how can a sinner be just with God? He was directed to do more works. More works. And these poor, burdened sinners could not find peace with God. They tried. Ask Martin Luther. He afflicted himself in many ways. Fasting, prayer, he whipped himself till the blood came out of his back. He even went all the way on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and he came back and he said, can these things be so? He had no peace in his soul. And Martin Luther said, if ever a monk would die from his monkery, it would be me. He did everything to try to be just with God. But what about you, my friend? Or you don't even have a need to be just with God. Still dead. No need. But you, what about you that are longing to be just with God? How are you trying to find peace? How are you trying to be just with God? The Lord in his mercy and goodness, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, gave light to men upon the doctrinal truths of the scriptures concerning the only way of salvation for sinners. And the only way that they can be just with God. God brought man back to his word, to the truth, the foundation of his precious word. The word of God again became the source of truth. And from the Bible, man formulated what we know as the five solas, or we could say that also means only. I think the children of the young people may know these. What are those fives? It means scripture alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. How did these men formulate these five solas? Did they have a vision? Did they have a new revelation? No. They prayerfully, simply studied the precious word of God. God's word, with the light of the Holy Spirit, taught them these truths. They found these truths in the scriptures, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but especially in the book of Romans. Romans is a fundamental book to understand the doctrines of grace. Many years before any of the reformers, God saved an ungodly sinner. God saved a man by his grace and taught him by the Holy Spirit and inspired him to write the book of Romans. Who's the author of Romans? Paul. Who is Paul? Also known as Saul. He was a man who worked hard to be saved by works. He went to great efforts to try to be acceptable in God's eyes. Listen to what he said, for example, in Galatians 1, 13 and 14. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, circumcised the eighth day. He was a very strict man, Pharisee of the Pharisees, beautiful on the white side, outside, like a whited sepulcher, as Jesus said, but inside full of dead bones. A Pharisee. What was their doctrine? What was the doctrine of the Pharisees? Their doctrine was justification by work, by keeping the law. Oh, they had so many laws. They had over 300 laws just for the Lord's day. Paul was zealous to be saved by his works. Did Paul have peace in his soul? Did Paul have peace in his soul? He might have had a peace, but it was not the peace of God. Listen to what he said in Galatians 3 verse 10. For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But God stopped Paul on the road to Damascus by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Paul died to all his hope of his own self-righteousness. He said that through the commandment, thou shalt not be covet, sin revived, and I died. Paul died to all his hope as a self-righteous Pharisee. And through dying to self, the Lord made room for that only Savior. My friend, do you have a longing to be just with God? Have you been stopped? Have you been made alive? Have you died to yourself, all your own self-righteousnesses? Jesus Christ, for Paul, became his life. The very one he persecuted with zeal became his life, his hope, his salvation, his righteousness, his hope, his everything. Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, experienced justification by God's grace alone, by Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone. And now he longed to live for the glory of God alone. Paul gave all the credit to himself. No, he did not give any credit to himself. He gave all credit to everything that he had become to the free and sovereign grace of God. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Paul explains the doctrine of justification in Romans. He wants to make absolutely clear, it's nothing in man, it's only by the free, sovereign grace of God in and through Jesus Christ. Let's read Romans 3 verse 24 again. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's by grace. Why can a man not be justified by any other way? Why can a man not be justified by works, or by his tears, or by his zeal, or by the law, or by his experience, or by his sorrow? Why is it only by grace? Why is justification by a way which a sinner contributes absolutely nothing? One big fat zero. Why? Because Paul says in verse 23, for all, that's you and me, all have come short, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do you and I only have? Sin. Sin and sin. Is that your experience? Man is lost, guilty, corrupt, depraved. And an infinite holy God cannot have communion with such a sinful being. God created man just, and he demands every one of his creatures to be just. A sinner cannot meet God in peace without being just. Man is unrighteous and must be just. My friend, to meet God in peace, you must be just. The conclusion of what Paul is saying is that man only can be justified by grace, or he will not be justified. What is justification? What does it involve? Justification involves two things. First, it involves the right to eternal life, and it involves the forgiveness of sins. And remember, the only way to have a right to eternal life is by perfect obedience. Do you have perfect obedience? Children, teenagers, older ones, do you have perfect obedience? Paul has proven in the first chapters until this moment that all are guilty, all have sinned. And Paul gives evidences as he concludes in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it is absolutely impossible for guilty sinners as you and me to be justified by ourselves. The only way to be justified is by God's grace. Paul wrote, for example, in Titus 3 verse 7, that being justified by his grace. Paul's goal in the first chapters of Romans is that every mouth may be stopped and all the world would become guilty before God. Have you become guilty before God? Has your mouth been stopped? Has it been opened in crying in prayer to him, confessing your sins? Have you become guilty before God? Justification is by grace alone. When considering the word justification, we need to understand that it's a judicial term, a term that you could use in the courts. It's a phrase used in the court of law. Justification is connected to the law, or in other words, you could say justification and the law are inseparable. They're together. This is why Paul uses all his efforts in the first chapters to show through the moral law of God that we are sinners. Romans 3 verse 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. He is instructing all those in Rome and all of us today that we have broken the holy law of God and are guilty before an infinite, holy, just God. Are you guilty, lost, unjust, and unrighteous before a holy God? We will all stand before God one day, before our Creator. And how will you meet Him? Without Jesus Christ, God is a consuming fire. No one can be saved by their works. No one. It's impossible. They're all polluted, all corrupt. No one can be saved by a so-called free will. The will is depraved like the rest of man's being. Yes, we're all called to love God and our neighbor as ourselves with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. But not one Jew and not one Gentile has the ability or by nature has the will to do this. Lost. We need God's free and sovereign grace. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The point is that the law is inflexible. The demands of perfect obedience is inflexible. Whoever does not obey God's law absolutely perfectly every day 100% is lost. Galatians 3 verse 10 again. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. How will you stand before God? You must be perfect. You must be just. You must keep the law yourself 100% or you need someone else to have kept the law for you. Is there someone else, congregation? Is there someone else, someone who is on this earth, who is flesh and bone, a human being, very man? Was there someone who kept the law of God perfectly every day with his whole being, every moment of his life? Yes, there is someone. Jesus Christ. The righteous. My friend, the first thing we need to understand is we're guilty, lost, and that we are under the wrath of God, that we are worthy of condemnation. We must understand the great need that we have because of our sin and because of who we are in order to truly cherish, seek, hunger, thirst, and love the amazing grace of God. Grace is not amazing for someone who is not lost. Grace is not amazing for a self-righteous Pharisee. Grace is amazing grace for a lost one, for an unrighteous one, for a polluted one, for one who has nothing to pay. He needs everything from someone else. No sinner, did you hear me? No sinner will experience justification without experience something of the guilt before a holy and just God. No, this is not a condition to qualify. It's an absolute reality. It's not a condition of qualification, but it's a condition of necessity. We need it. Like the Lord Jesus Christ said, they that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick. Little Lucy Ann, she didn't ask, or her parents didn't seek for a doctor for leukemia a few weeks ago. She was healthy. But now she's sick. It's a blessing. There's doctors as a medication for someone who has leukemia, and so it is also with a sinner. We need to know that truth. Ask the Lord to teach you by His grace who you are. It's painful, but it's a blessing because it leads the way to salvation. When the Holy Spirit teaches a little something of our sinfulness and a little something of our depravity, then we begin to understand the need, but also the wonder and how amazing God's grace is for wretches. Have you seen a little something of your depravity, your sinfulness? God created you and me to glorify Him, but by sin we have become guilty and we fail to live for the purpose of God. We do not live every day hallowing His name. Do you know that you come absolutely short of the glory of God? Do you have a need for God's grace? We say it so easily, but do you know it? A need. Can a man be justified? Can God justify a sinner? Is there a way? Yes. By God's grace, guilty sinners see that the only hope of being justified is by God's precious grace. The grace of justification is freely given to a sinner through the merits of Jesus Christ. This leads to our second thought. But let us first sing from Psalter 170. And the title of the psalter is A Celebration of Divine Grace. May we be given to truly sing the psalter tonight, thinking of the amazing grace of God for wretches. Psalter 170, all three stanzas. justification. Justification is by grace alone, and it is in Christ alone. Justification is only in and through Jesus Christ. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in the sinner that justifies him. What a painful lesson. But what a blessing when you may know and learn and are taught by the Holy Spirit through the Word that justification comes completely from outside of yourself, from another, from the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious Savior, from His merits, from His blood, from His righteousness, because who He is and what He has done. By God's grace, a sinner does repent. He does believe. But concerning his justification, Christ requires absolutely no additions. Nothing. And he's even offended if you try. Why? Why? Because he has everything a poor sinner needs. And to look in any other place, in yourself, or any other way, is not relying completely and fully, 100%, trusting only on Him. Man has nothing but sin, and all his righteousnesses are filthy rags. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We see in this verse that a sinner is justified freely in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. Freely in Jesus Christ. Maybe you say, I've heard this many times. I have too. But do you believe it, my friend? Do you really believe with your whole heart, and do you rest upon that God the Father freely justifies a sinner upon the merits of Jesus Christ? What a work God has to do in these hearts of enmity, these hearts of pride, to strip us of everything, that we would completely rest upon that only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that we believe it's freely upon Him, and that I have nothing, and I need to bring nothing, and that I cannot bring anything. Freely. That means without cost. Isaiah 55 verse 1, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. But the word freely in Greek in the original also means that it's done graciously. It's done with joy. It's done without reserve, without reluctance. Sometimes we can give someone a gift freely. Here, take this. You can have it. It's free. But do we do it with joy? Or do we do it reluctantly? Paul says God justifies a sinner freely, without cost, meaning he does it with no cost from the sinner. All the cost has been paid by his Son. And even more, he does it with joy. God the Father, the infinite holy God, freely justifies a sinner through his Son, Jesus Christ. How can such an infinite holy God joyfully, freely justify ungodly sinners? By and through the sacrifice of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only foundation of grace. Without him, there is no grace. Without him, there is no hope of being justified. Jesus Christ is the propitiatory sacrifice for his people. John, in his first epistle, 2 verse 2, said, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And this is what Paul also wrote in Romans 8 verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Children, you heard a big word. Propitiation. What does this big word mean? It's a very key, beautiful, important word. It's a foundational word of the gospel, like atonement, justification. Propitiation means to satisfy, to appease the wrath of an offended one, and to gain his favor back. Propitiation, or to satisfy, to appease the wrath of an offended one, was done by a sacrifice. I'll give you an example. I think you all know the story of Haman and Esther. Remember at the end, then Esther had a banquet with the king, and she told the king finally that Haman wanted to kill all the Jews, and she's a Jew. And the king was angry, and he went out and he went to walk in his garden, and then Haman came to her bed, because when they ate, they would lay on a bed, and he came there and he was begging her. And the king came back and he saw Haman there, and he said, "Now is he going to force himself upon my wife?" And he was full of wrath, very angry, furious. How was his anger satisfied, taken away? By a sacrifice. Esther 7 verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified, satisfied, appeased, taken away. Now in the Bible, propitiatory sacrifice is regarding appeasing, satisfying, and gaining the favor of the Almighty God, who is offended, infinitely offended, full of wrath against sin. Congregation, God's love is infinite. His love is infinite, but his justice is also infinite. What sacrifice can appease the wrath of the Almighty, infinite, holy, just God? Can the blood of sacrifices of animals? Can that? Well, there was thousands upon thousands of animals that were sacrificed. God's wrath was still there. It wasn't satisfied. One of the prophets even said, "Even if I gave my firstborn son, it would be insufficient." What sacrifice? What sacrifice can satisfy, has satisfied the wrath of God? By him who hung upon the cross, by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, by the sacrifice of the Son of God, the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. He gave his life as a sacrifice on the cross. And this sacrifice satisfied, appeased the wrath of God, satisfied the almighty justice. Infinite wrath calls for an infinite payment, and the payment of Jesus Christ is an infinite payment. It was the blood of Emmanuel. So the word propitiation points to the effect that the cross of Jesus Christ had on God the Father, the almighty, holy, majestic being in heaven. That sacrifice, when God the Father looked from heaven upon his Son dying on the cross and giving his life, his wrath was appeased. It was satisfied. His justice was satisfied. And therefore we read in Isaiah 53 verse 11, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." And he is the propitiation for our sins. God's wrath was satisfied, taken away by the only sacrifice of his Son, justification through Christ alone. Children of God, sinner, sheep of the Good Shepherd, you are reminded by these words of Paul to think of what the sacrifice on the cross of Jesus Christ has accomplished, of the God against who you have offended. What did Jesus accomplish? God's wrath satisfied. Think about that. Maybe go home and meditate upon that. Nothing you have or I can could ever even satisfy one little iota of the wrath of God. But Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, completely satisfied. He drank that cup of wrath until the very last drop, and now that cup is empty of wrath, but it's overflowing with abundance of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ for the chiefest of sinners. Dear sheep, little lamb, the Lord is saying, he's saying through the sacrifice of his son, my dear sheep, my dear lamb, there's no more wrath for you. My wrath has fallen upon my beloved son. You deserved all my wrath, but it all fell upon him. I laid it all on him. He took it willingly and he took it away. And for you now only, there's love, eternal love, eternal love, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. I'll give you another illustration from the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16. And on that day, the Israelites would choose two goats on that day, and they would confess their sins over these two goats. It was symbolic. And now these two goats became guilty, the scapegoat and the goat that was going to be a sacrifice for an offering of sin. Both guilty. And the goat, one was sacrificed as a sin offering to take away the sin, to satisfy the wrath of God. But the other goat was taken outside the camp, the scapegoat, and led far away, never to be seen again. So there was the forgiveness of sins, payment by the one goat, and the removal of all sin by the other goat. And that's what you need. That's what I need. We need the payment, and we need it forever removed, taken away, blotted out. And these two goats are a picture of the Lamb of God and what he has done upon the cross. Jesus Christ was that sacrifice, that payment. But he also was brought outside the camp, outside Jerusalem, cast out to Golgotha. The scapegoat was annihilated, sent out. Jesus Christ was annihilated from the presence of his Father. And he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Through the Lamb of God, there is justification because he paid and he removed it all. Blotted out through the blood of Christ, cast into the depths of the sea, the Red Sea of Christ's blood, as Tom Watson said, not as a cork. Because you take a cork and you throw it in water, then it comes back up. But he said it went as a piece of lead into the Red Sea of Christ's blood, down, never to be seen again, removed. God the Father gave his son to be a sacrifice. 1 John 4 verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And God was pleased to bruise his son. He was pleased to put to death his own beloved son. He wasn't pleased to put a sheep to death eternally. He was pleased to put the good shepherd of the sheep so the sheep could go free. All the wrath fell on the good shepherd so the sheep could only experience love. Justification through Jesus Christ alone. He paid. He died. But he was risen again, Romans 4 verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we come to the end of the first two points. Justification by grace alone, through Christ alone. But maybe now you have a question. How can that be mine? How can that be mine? I need to be just. Pastor, tell me tonight, how can I be just with God? What's the way? Through faith alone, in the precious Lamb of God. And so we come to our third and last thought. How is a sinner righteous before God? Does Paul say he's justified by the law? No. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. No sinner can be justified by the law. Man is guilty. Is there a way to be justified? Yes. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Nothing in man, all through Jesus Christ. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. How is a sinner, an ungodly sinner, connected to that rich, that glorious, that precious Savior who has paid it all? How? By faith. That poor beggar's hand that has nothing, nothing. The poor beggar's hand. Those that trust in him with their whole hearts, expecting, needing, longing, depending on everything in him and from him. Paul wrote, he's reinstating what he wrote in chapter 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And when Martin Luther, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when this came into his heart and his eyes were open, he saw it, oh, he had joy. Profound joy for the first time. Peace. No more need to whip myself. No more need to pay indulgences. No more need to go on my knees in pilgrimages. It's in him. It's by faith. Justified by faith. Oh, to taste something of that, my friends. That's a good Reformation day. You will never forget it. That gives joy. That gives peace. Nothing that the world can ever give. It all leaves you empty. Joy for a little time. Yes, sweet is sin, but it leads to death, young people. But this fills your heart. This fills your life. This drives you to want to live for the glory of God alone. Because he's so worthy. Because he's done it all. And I've done nothing but wreck it all, destroy it all. Romans 3, verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. John Calvin said, justification by faith is the hinge on which all true religion turns. You destroy this foundation, you destroy everything. It's by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, upon the scriptures alone, all to the glory of God alone. Paul is saying, when God the Father, that holy, infinite, just judge, when he looks on a poor, trembling, lost, ungodly, unrighteous, unjust sinner that hides, trembling, under the wings of the precious Savior, God the Father can look upon him and be satisfied through his Son. And he can see him. He can embrace him as a son, as the Father embraced that prodigal son as a son. Oh, to be a son. We've destroyed it all. Unworthy. Only worthy to be cast out. But God, that infinite, holy, just, good-doing God gave his beloved Son. Because, why? Because he wants sons. He wants his sons home. He wants his daughters home. He wants to have them around his throne forever, praising and glorifying him, joining in them, and them joining in him. It's all through him and through him alone. Let us read a moment. A piece from the Heidelberg Catechism. Please open your psalters to the back page 51. It's a beautiful article, question and answer from Lord's Day 23. How art thou righteous before God? Psalter, or it's in the back, page 51, question and answer number 60. How art thou righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. And now listen. So that though my conscience accuse me, is that you? Your conscience accuses you? That I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God. Is it you? Grossly transgressed? No, not just a little transgressed. Grossly transgressed all the commandments of God? And kept none of them? Not one? And am still inclined to all evil? Is that you, wretched man? And notwithstanding, what a beautiful word. You hear all this misery. And notwithstanding, God without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Even so, as if I never had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me. And now, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. Beautiful, precious, precious, justified by grace alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone. This is the scriptures, and it will be all to the glory of God. Praise God for his free and sovereign grace for wretches. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. And the song of the redeemed will be eternally. Praise the Father for his electing love. Praise the Son for his redeeming love. And praise the Holy Spirit for his quickening, applying, revealing, and applying love. Soon, sheep, soon, we will be home, delivered. Delivered. Will you be there? Will you be singing? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Or will you be cast out, forever cursing God? What a difference. What a difference. We only all deserve to be cast out. But it's by grace, by free and sovereign grace, that wretches, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can be saved upon him. And all the glory will forever and only be to God. Amen. Almighty, eternal, eternal, triune Lord God of heaven and earth, oh, we beg thee that thou would work mightily, irresistibly by thy word and Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again and become guilty, lost, ungodly, unrighteous, unjust in self, and in need of thy grace. And wilt thou lead them to that only way of being justified in thy dear Son, Lord, reveal him that he has paid it all, that he has satisfied thy infinite justice with his infinite payment on the cross. And Lord, show us also that without him, we cannot live one moment, that we're dependent upon him. Lord, draw us that we run after thee, and that we may live a close life, as thou hast commanded thy sheep, abide in me and I in thee. Without me, you cannot do anything. There will be no fruit. Lord, we pray, keep us in this evening as we turn to our homes. May we meditate upon the precious word that we have heard. May it be a blessing to our never dying souls. Wilt thou bring us here again on thy day also, not only to hear the preaching of the gospel, but also to see the visible gospel. Lord, wilt thou give that we may meditate upon the sacrament of baptism, and that we may come with a longing to see that water, to see that water that points to that all-atoning blood of the Lamb, to hear of that covenant love of that Almighty God of heaven and earth. Keep us, Lord. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. In closing, let us sing Psalter 83, all three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Blessed he to whom Jehovah imputeth not his sin, who hath a guileless spirit, whose heart is true within. 83, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, go in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.